Avril, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Well, I'm very glad to be here.
You practice an ancient and demanding form of art, enameling, and in fact, you're the president of the Enamelist Society, which has an exhibition at the Carnegie in Covington right now. Before we talk about the exhibition, though, I'd like you to tell us about the art itself. How long have people been making enamels, and how is it done?
The best way to think about enamel is it's glass fired onto metal. The glass and the metal are bonded together. It's been done by different cultures, done by the Greeks, by the Celts, the Egyptians. Nobody quite knows what the oldest enamel is because somebody would put a piece of metal into the fire and some glass and see that they bonded together. And then if it was a transparent glass, they had a beautiful surface. So that's kind of where it started. So it started in different places at different times because the Orientals also have done a lot of enameling as well.
So it's one of our oldest art forms.
Yes, in that sense, for as technical as it is, yes.
The title for the exhibition at the Carnegie is Alchemy 2, A New Global Vision for Enamel. What can you tell us about the exhibition, and what exactly does the title mean?
Well, first of all, the word alchemy, we used it 2 years ago for our conference and exhibition, and it's a wonderful word to describe enameling because you've got two very different materials, and when you put them together, you can get some wonderful results because the color with enamel is just extraordinary. So it seems to fit what we're doing and what we want to try to describe about ourselves. And then the global vision actually refers to the fact that it's done all over the world and that in our exhibition, we invite enamelists from other countries. And probably 10% of the pieces that will be seen there are from people from other countries, and typically Canada, Mexico, United Kingdom, but there's also people from Scotland, from Venezuela, people around the world who are doing it, and also South Korea, actually, and Taiwan. So we get quite a few people from
Well, I'm interested that the show includes a special section for student work. Art students today have so much new media available to them, but apparently they're still drawn to the established forms?
Yes. There's a great interest in jewelry these days at all levels. People are making jewelry and loving it and selling it and everything else. And so it's popular in terms of being taught in universities and in craft schools and things like that. So once you get into metals, one way you can enhance what you're doing is to use enamel and get color into your work. So there's great interest in doing that. And we like to encourage the students, and this is our way of doing it, to treat them really as equals, to show them as equals in the juried exhibition. We also print a catalog, and they're treated as equals in the catalog. So it just encourages them to go on and continue enameling because otherwise the craft will die off if we don't encourage it and encourage the youth to do it.
Well, accompanying that exhibition, there's also a special selection of works from the estate of Harold B. Helwig, who I think was better known as Bill Helwig.
Yes.
He was a well-known enamelist who lived in Newport, Kentucky. What can you tell us about his work?
His work is truly extraordinary on several different levels. First of all and foremost, he was a very good artist. He could draw well, he could do things well, he could express himself well, and he chose a very difficult medium. He enjoyed that part of it, and he spent a lot of time experimenting with the medium because he worked for Thompson Enamel, so he had the materials at hand and the means to experiment with them, so he's very much known for that. He's also taught a great many people, but his works just reach a level that really goes beyond what most enamelists are capable of doing. They're just absolutely beautiful, and we're very fortunate to have the exhibition.
The Enamelist Society has just held its biennial conference in Covington. What happens at these conferences, and how do they serve the members and the art of enameling?
Well, we serve our members very well. We have a number of activities all going on during about a 10-day period. We've already spoken about the exhibition, which always happens. We have our own reception over the weekend of our conference so that all our members can see all the works. 3 days before the conference and 3 days afterwards, we run workshops. And this area is a great place to have the workshops because we have used the facilities at Thompson Enamel. There's four workshop spaces there that we can use. So that's four before and four after. And then we have a large-scale enameling workshop at A.O. Smith. Now, that's a frit-making company in Florence, and their laboratory has good facilities for us to hold a workshop. That's another part of the international aspect. We bring in people from other countries. We have one woman coming from Israel, very, very fine enamelists, and another from England. So both of them are teaching workshops during the week. We have an auction of enameled works to raise funds for our outreach programs. We have an instant gallery where people who come can bring in work and show a couple of pieces of work. So we have a lot of activities going on. And the exhibit actually is our foremost way of reaching out to the public because that can stay on an exhibition for a month or more. And at times we have also moved it to other museums. And also we print a full-color catalog of the exhibition. And that, again, is a way of getting the word out, getting people to see how beautiful enamel can be and how unusual the works can be.
I'd like to know more about your own work. What drew you to enameling, and what kind of things do you make?
I was exposed to enameling basically by getting wedding presents quite a few years ago that were enameled, and I was fascinated by it. I just loved the color. Everyone that you talk to who is doing enameling seriously is first drawn into it by the color, because when you fire a transparent glass on top of the metal light goes through the glass, hits the metal, and is reflected back through that glass, giving it a brightness but also kind of a depth. And also, as you move the piece around, it changes the quality of it. It's beautiful. So to tell you the truth, I took a workshop in it, and I never looked back. It's that simple. I fell in love with it, and that was the end of it. And I'm still here, still doing it over 50 years later. So that's kind of how I got into it. And what I've also made my living as an enamelist many, many years. People in Cincinnati may know of me because I've probably exhibited for at least 15 years at the November craft shows that was sponsored by the Ohio Designer Craftsman. They used to be in the Convention Center in downtown Cincinnati, and then they moved over to Covington to the, I guess they call it the Northern Kentucky Convention Center. It's right connected to the Marriott. So I did those for many, many years, and I did everything. I did wall pieces, framed enamels, I did bowls, and I also have a whole line of jewelry that I do as well.
Is the process essentially what it's always been, or have new methods been introduced?
There's always new ways of working with it. One of the things I'm known for is that I have experimented with using cat hair, and everybody tells me, oh, I've got plenty of cat hair. How do you do that? And actually, to get a certain effect, that cat hair works very well. So I've gotten a lot of response to that. And I've used materials like mica. Some people have just enameled on mica. I've just used bits of it, flakes of it, to scatter onto the piece to give a texture. And also, the mica has a glint to it that catches the light. So it's an interesting material in itself. And people are doing that. There's one piece in the exhibit that has diamond dust in it. Now, we looked at it pretty closely. I didn't have a flashlight to see if there was any glitter, but I didn't see any. I would think that would be too fine, and I'm not sure quite why it was used, but maybe somebody just tried it to see if you can do it.
Well, thank you so much, Avril, for coming in to talk with us about this fascinating field of art.
You're very welcome. I really enjoy talking about it because I think everybody should know about it. It's so beautiful.
We've been talking with Avril Scheps, president of the Enamelist Society, which has an exhibition on now through August 23 at the Carnegie in Covington. For more information, see wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jane Durrell.